Jack Link's Beef Jerky never lets you down. Find it in your supermarket snack aisle.
The Dead Set Legends are back in 2020.
How excited are you?
Join former St Kilda champion Joey Montagna.
Jumping out the way, Joey Montagna.
Footy journo Jay-Z Clark.
Sugar Ray Leonard was a great boxer. I'm Sugar Jay, so that was sort of the clever play on words.
And horse racing royalty Emma Freeman.
Something about having a short reach and, you know, just not being very big. So.
It's everything you need to kickstart your weekend.
I'm up and about today.
We are live.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Staying safe instead of entertaining big crowds, including the captain of our test team, Tim Payne. He's a bloke, boys, that we already loved, but following watching the series The Test on Amazon Prime, I reckon a lot of people love him even more now. And so glad to say that he joins us now. Tim, welcome to Dead Set Legends.
Good morning. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Very well. How's Payne's daycare going at the moment? You've got two small kids, and I imagine that you don't get to spend a lot of time with them when you're on tour. So how's the change of pace going?
Well, it's probably the only positive that's come of this whole thing, I suppose. I spend a lot of time away from home. So with a one-year-old and a two-year-old, it's actually nice to spend a bit of time with them, sort of evening up the ledger with the wife. They're starting to come to me every now and then. So normally they're all over the wife, and Dad gets told to sort of go away. But I'm getting a little bit more attention, which is nice.
Tim, how are you feeling the competitive desire and instinct in you? Now, I've previously said that there's nothing like making your four-year-old daughter draw 14 in Uno. Like, it builds resilience and resolve, and I think that's, you know, strong in their growing up. What are you doing to, I mean, you're an intensely competitive man. What is there anything out in the backyard that you can do or with your kids to fulfill that void?
Not really at the moment. They're both a little bit young. My daughter Miller's sort of two and a bit, so I had her in the garage yesterday. Because I have got the little cricket ball up on the string, so I was trying to teach her, but the bat was a bit heavy. She couldn't lift it up. So, she loved it. And they're getting that nice little age, I suppose, where they play with each other. But I can't be too competitive with them just yet. I get in trouble from Bonnie, my wife, if I don't let them win anything we do. So that's tough for me. But the things you do as a father, I guess.
What are you doing, Tim, in regards to your cricket? Obviously, it's not something where you can just get the wife or kids to throw the ball to in the backyard. Are you able to keep a bit of bat work going playing cricket, or is that completely off the radar at the moment?
Yeah, it is for me at the moment, Joey, mainly because I literally would be on holidays anyway at the moment.
Yep.
So for me, I tend to overtrain at the best of times. So I've sort of had a bit of instruction from our strength conditioning people at Cricket Australia just to chill out. Take the time off, have a few weeks not do anything. I've set up a little bit of a home gym in the garage, so I've been doing a little bit of fitness stuff, as you have to when you're 35, because it can go pretty quickly. But from a cricket point of view at the moment, as I said, I'm on holiday, so I'm not doing a great deal, other than my friends at Kookaburra sent me down one of those balls on a string, which I haven't done since I was about 7 years old. So I set that up in the garage, and I did hit probably 15 or 20 balls yesterday, and I must admit I enjoyed every minute of it.
And I can imagine it'd be nice for your fingers too, to have a little break from putting the gloves on and getting hit on the hands.
Yeah, absolutely. I always enjoy a little bit of a break from that when I can, particularly when I'm keeping to our boys and the pace they bowl. So any break I can give my fingers, rest I should say, not break, is certainly much appreciated by my hands. There's no doubt about that.
We are chatting to our Australian cricket captain, Tim Payne. And as I mentioned, Tim, at the start of the chat, The Test, the series that has come out for the perfect time and with people stuck indoors at the moment to get their sport fix. Have you been surprised by the positive reaction? Before we have a chat, let's actually listen to the trailer of the series.
Magnificent game of cricket here at Old Trafford. Marvellous.
What I need to keep thinking about, not just for this test match, but every time you play for Australia, remember who you're representing. Not just representing us, you're representing the whole country.
People have absolutely loved it, Tim.
Yeah, and I'm obviously involved in it, but at heart, I think, all sort of professional sportsmen, we're all sports fans, aren't we? So, I mean, I've seen a lot of the All or Nothings on Amazon, and I've always loved them. I'm not a huge NFL or NBA fan, but I just love that sort of inner sanctum from sports teams and sports clubs that you can get. And I think in a position that I'm in as a professional, or Joey's been in, you probably forget that the common people don't get to see that sort of stuff, and they absolutely love it. So to be able to be a part of that and to bring the inner sanctum of the Australian cricket team to the public and give them a bit of a look at how we go about things, but also let them get to know more about the players and our staff is something that we were really keen to do, and we're obviously wrapped that it's gone down really well, which is awesome.
And obviously been involved in a footy club for a long time, but I've loved, Jay-Z, looking at the inner sanctum of probably the most sacred of environments, a locker room of the Australian cricket team. Yeah. For me, I've absolutely loved that. I know you have as well.
Yeah, I think the insights into them, I mean, particularly the battle between Steve Smith and Jofra Archer. Like, I remember being on the absolute edge of my couch when that was happening. Like, you could not have paid me $5 million to go to sleep that night when that was actually happening. I could not get enough. But one of the most fascinating insights for me for the whole show was early on, Tim, when you said you're addressing the mental resolve or the batting collapses and the clusters of wickets, and you're saying it's not 100 extra balls at training, it's not changing your technique, it's standing up to the heat of the moment. And so for every 10-year-old cricketer out there or out-of-form club cricketer, what are the mental cues? What are your thought bubbles when you are under the pump and they're zipping around your chin and you just played and missed a couple of times?
Yeah, well, batting, I'm actually not great, to be fair. I get a bit scattered myself at best of times, but certainly I think, you know, all the best players have, you know, two or three cues that they've got in their mind, and you know, the best players are the ones that are able to stick to that and be able to drown out, I guess, all the attention that's around the game, or, you know, those big moments like the Smith versus Archer. I think that's why Smithy wins, you know, 98% of those battles, because he's able to control, you know, his thought process and how he's feeling and be able to zone in on that. You know, not too many things I've seen have been able to take great players like him or a Ponting or a Kohli out of what they do. And I actually read a great thing a couple of days ago, actually, from Tony Romo, the ex-Dallas Cowboys quarterback, who said, you know, one of the things he did better than most people was control the man inside. And I think that's, you know, when you get to our level, that's the hardest thing to do, is to be able to control your own emotions, your own thoughts, and be strong enough and disciplined enough to stick to your game plans when you're absolutely under the pump.
Fascinating insights from our Australian cricket captain, Tim Payne. You happy to stick around for another couple of minutes, Tim?
Yeah, no problems at all. I haven't got a lot on today, so
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey J and Emma for your Saturday morning. Our special guest today is Australian cricket captain Tim Payne. We have been talking a lot about the test, the series on Amazon Prime at the moment, which is getting a lot of attention. Tim, say in the last 2 years since you've been captain and since everything happened in South Africa, aside from yourself, who I imagine has matured a lot and grown a lot as just a person and also as a leader, who do you think within that side has matured the most as a player and as a person?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think, look, honestly, it's probably not the answer you're after, but I think the whole group has managed to, and that's you know, our players and our staff. I think, you know, everyone's just become a little bit more aware of their surroundings and what's, I suppose, expected from the Australian cricket team. I think over the last little period, we may have just forgotten a little bit about that and became a little bit sort of insular, if you like. So I think, you know, our whole group, from our playing group to our staff, has done a great job of just recognising, you know, the people that the Australian cricket team means so much to, which is the Australian public. And I've said a few times before, it's gone back about realising that it's Australian, the Australian cricket team is Australia's team. It's not our team. We're lucky to be playing. Well, we're more than lucky. We've got the best jobs in the world to be one of, you know, 11 players and a group of staff that get to represent the Australian Test team, which is an amazing privilege. So I think we're just a bit more aware of that, a bit more humble. I think it's one of the things we've really worked hard on is a bit more humility and giving back to the game and giving back to our fans. And I think our whole group's done a brilliant job of doing that.
Tim, we're also trying to work on our humility here at Triple M. Not always. We might need to bring you in.
Well, Tim, the documentary was great to give us an insight into your captaincy. And as Emma said earlier, that I think everyone's respect for you has grown by watching this documentary. Yeah. What has been the biggest challenge you've found as being captain? Of course, it's a, you know, huge role. They say second behind the Prime Minister is a role. But what have you probably found more challenging than you even expected?
I just think the sheer size of it, to be honest. I mean, I've captained cricket teams my whole life, sort of growing up and coming through age groups and then on to Tasmania. But the responsibility and expectation that comes with being the test captain, you know, I remember when I first got it, people were like, you're going to be fine. And I was sort of sheltered from it because the first few months we didn't do anything. We weren't playing. And I was down in Tasmania where, you know, the four media people I know quite well, so you never sort of hassled or need to,
smart, Tim,
you know,
smart.
They could private message me. So I was probably shielded from it, but I would say that in the last particularly 18 months, I've been amazed by the sheer scope of the job and the reach that it has. So, you know, it's been good and bad. It's taken me time to adjust to, but as Emma sort of touched on before, I think it's, I wouldn't say it's made me mature, but it's just made me more aware of how I act and what I have to say and what you have to do and how you carry yourself. And that's made me not only a better captain, but a better person, a better dad, a better husband and everything. So it's so far, it's worked out pretty well.
Poor old Kookaburra, Tim. They thought you had you as a salesman. Was it about 5 years ago? And then you get there thinking, this guy looks really good. And you're going to captain the bloody country. So I feel like a good folk at Kookaburra. But the most poignant moment, you know, maybe outside the Ashes for me, the Australian cricket season last year, it was not on the field. It was in the press conference. And it was when Mitch Marsh was asked after a career best bowling performance, you know, about his polarising nature. And he said, it was unbelievable. He said, I know that most of Australia hates me, but not to worry. I'll keep battling on. Like, that just, my heart sank when I heard that. And I just can't imagine how many moments you must have had with him around him and how you've been able to coach him through that. Can you give us some insight there? He must have faced some pretty big
hurdles.
He's
an interesting one. He is, because he is a bit maligned from outside of our group, but inside of our group, he's one of the great men. He's one of the more popular players. He's really engaging. He's very funny. He's just a great team man. And the bits that he is in the docker, I think that comes through. But I was a bit sort of, I was fascinated when I started playing with him during the Australian summer, particularly last year when he sort of got booed at the MCG. And, you know, some players just bat that off and have a bit of a laugh about it. But Mitch is a big sort of lovable, bit larger than life character, but he's got this really, really soft side, and that's what I've sort of meant from him. That sort of stuff really hurts him and upsets him, which is interesting. But he knows that our group fully supports him, and he knows how highly he's thought of in our group. So you know, the focus for him and for us is to make sure that he knows that he's really important to the makeup of our group as a cricketer and as a person, and that outweighs you know, a little bit of public opinion of people who, you know, 99.9% of them don't know him at all.
He sounds like an absolute ripper, especially when you watch the end of the doco and how he's entertaining the locker room. It's outstanding, Tim. Now, this is going to probably come a bit of left field, but at the moment, every Saturday on our show, we're going through our favourite ever sporting moments that we absolutely love, whether they're commentary. Last week we did John Aloisi's penalty. We're going to do a bit of BT calling Tom Boyd's goal in the 2016 grand final. Don't know if you remember, but there was a few expletives that went to air that day. Do you have a cricket moment that you love watching, that you love reliving, maybe your favourite moment that's ever been broadcast?
Yeah, well, I think now it's probably, I've got a new one. I think I've always enjoyed watching Shane Warne bowl Mike Gatting. That was always a good one. But I think now, being personally involved, I could watch Josh Hazlewood hit Craig Overton in the pad at Manchester.
Yeah.
I could watch that all day, every day, to be honest, that last weekend. That was an amazing moment.
And we've got to let you go, Tim. We know that. But how did you, I mean, you go back 18 months ago, it was a bit frosty with Davey Warner, clearly. Did you just have a good old-fashioned pub lock-in? Or did you get the fast bowlers? did you just trap in a minimum pub and just say, boys, let's have a couple of pints and sort this out? Do you remember there being a key moment in smoothing that over? Because clearly there was, you know, some stuff to be sorted out.
Yeah, again, I think a lot of the sort of animosity stuff was started from rumours from outside of the actual playing group and sort of that bit of he said, she said. But, you know, internally it was always okay. I mean, the team, it's a really interesting setup, the Australian cricket team. And in terms of, we don't get to go to a club on a Monday or whatever. When we finish, we all go home or in all over the country. So that's one of the challenges, is keeping the group really connected. And, you know, if stuff's out there in the media in a football sense or even a state cricket sense, you're all at training on a Monday and it can be squashed there and then. But when you're spread out around the country, it can be a little bit difficult. So, yeah, it was just a matter of getting everyone together and getting everything out on the table and getting a plan to move forward. And Cricket Australia handled that really well. And we did that in Dubai as a group before those guys went to the IPL. And, you know, to be honest, when they came back into the group, it was fairly seamless again, which was awesome. And I think you see, you know, some really great results of that through the doco. And then obviously retaining the Ashes was the end result of it. So it worked out pretty well for us all in the end.
Tim, it's been a great thrill for us to have you on the program this morning. We're wishing you the best of luck of in isolation and Payne's daycare, but also heading forward to the summer of cricket. Hopefully we'll get some crowds to all of our big grounds come November and we can see you take on India.
Yeah, let's hope so. Look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Tim.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends is done for another day.
If you have to explain a joke, it's not particularly funny.
Get even more Joey, Jay-Z and Emma by downloading the Triple M app.
Jack Link's Beef Jerky never lets you down. Find it in your supermarket snack aisle.